Amen. Thanks, everybody. How are all of you today? And the Bills haven't lost since Thursday. It can't be all that bad. And I think the Sabres actually won something last night, didn't they? All right. Yeah. Well, you never know. I'm starting sort of wacky week for me, so I appreciate your prayers. Some of you I know are having much wackier weeks than mine, but even so. We have a charge conference today at 3:30, and at 2:30 today, I'm doing somebody else's charge conference. I'm going to do that, and then we'll be all together at 3:30, and then at 4:30, we'll have our meeting up in Pendleton Center, and then I'm going to come back, and we've got class tonight. That'll be fun. And then tomorrow, I get on the train early to go see my mom and dad off to Florida. They're flying this year, so we're really glad about that, but they need someone to take them to the airport. That would be me. See, Tuesday, I'm having lunch with my bishop. I'll tell him you all said hi. Everybody go, hi, bishop. Okay, good, thank you. Good. Christ Church says hi. That's not just me, by the way. There's several of us going to this thing that he's invited us to. Wednesday, I'm getting a tooth removed. Yes! Come on, you've got to be excited for me. This is good stuff. Thursday, I'm with my covenant group till Friday morning. Friday night, we've got Mission Youth. Looking forward to Mission Youth. Friday at, is that 6:30? We usually meet 6:30, dinner. We'll figure out what that's going to be. I have no idea what that's going to be. We'll figure something out. Saturday, next year, the 2015 Uganda team is meeting. So next Sunday, which one of you is preaching? I forgot what? Well, yeah, Monday night. I'm actually going to have a quiet evening with my wife. At least I'm planning it to be quiet. I have no idea. She might want to go to the races or something. You never know about those things. Anyway, good to see all of you. I'd like to read to you two passages from the Bible. Now, if you wandered into church today and you're one of those folks that says all the church ever talks about is money, I'll apologize ahead of time. Today's the day. I'm going to talk about money today as plain and as frank and as direct as I possibly can. You all right with that? That's kind of the way I teach everything else, isn't it? We try not to pull punches. Let's just go right at it. So I'd like to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 12, and then a passage from Luke, and then we'll pray, and then we'll see what God has for us today. And now, when I read the first part of this, if you hear in the distance in your mind some Texas guy with really big ears, see if this isn't true. It begins, the point is this. No Ross Perot fans from... I am so disappointed. Because when I did that earlier, I thought that was just the funniest thing all day, but not for you. All right. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing and abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. And then from Luke chapter 6. Jesus says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. May God add his blessing to this reading from 2 Corinthians. I'm just randomly pulling papers out of my pocket here, sorry. 2 Corinthians and Luke chapter 6. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, as we reflect on your word this day and as we consider this final stewardship sermon, give us the grace to hear your word. Give us the grace to see beyond the bits and pieces that make us nervous and anxious. And help us to hear your voice calling us out. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. It says God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek word there is the Greek word hilarion, which is where we get our word hilarious. It's not just cheerful. God loves people to be extravagantly over the top, happy about the opportunity to give. Kind of like those moments in your life and my life where you've taken the time to find the perfect gift for someone and you've given it to them. And there's that part of you that just bubbles and bubbles and bubbles, expecting great joy on their part. Hilarious, generous giving. Jesus says in Luke, what you give determines what you receive. And it kind of reads like a eighth grade science experiment to me, that time when you put the baking soda in the jar and poured vinegar on it. Remember, and it all bubbled out into oblivion. Sorry, baking soda and vinegar, right? Science teachers, right? Okay, good. That if you give, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That the measure by which we expect to receive from God is determined by the measure we give. It's a basic life rule. The more engaged I am, the more I'm going to get out of what I'm engaged in. I didn't like practicing my cornet in high school. I didn't really like practicing it at all. But I know for a fact that those weeks when I actually put the time in, I got more out of rehearsal, more out of the concert, because I was bringing more of myself to it. More often in life, we get out of things what we put into them. We've been talking about stewardship, and we've been talking about the basic principle of stewardship is this: all that I have, all that I am, all that I dream of being is a gift from God, that God has trusted me with all the stuff, all the time, all the talent, all the relationships, the very faith itself, that God has trusted me with that and expects me to be a good steward of that. God has trusted you with that and expects you to be good stewards as well. You've probably noticed this. The world around us has changed. Have you noticed? 35, 40 years ago, the whole culture in which we lived was designed to support people going to church, right? Stores were closed on Sunday morning. I mean, no point in opening stores. Everybody's in church anyway, so you might as well just keep them closed till noon. There were no other activities on Sunday. Everybody went to church, so that's this culture around us supporting us. Well, it doesn't work anymore, does it? In fact, I just sent a letter to the Galleria Mall this week. Encourage you to do the same. They're planning to punish the stores that aren't opening on Thanksgiving. They're going to fine them, which is contractually they're allowed to do so. And so I sent a nice little email to the management there that said, if you do that, I'm not shopping there anymore. That people need to be with their families. They need to have that time away to give thanks and to be free. The world has changed. The church has changed as well. Some of you have been around this congregation long enough to remember that we had two services here every Sunday and we were packed to the walls, right? Right now, I think if we moved everybody into this section, we could pack this section. right? Just about make it, I think, looking around the room, that the church has changed over the years. And if we're expecting help from culture, if we're expecting help from society, frankly, if we're expecting help from the annual conference, change your expectations. If this ministry flies into the future, it's up to us. There's no one else coming. If we don't get it done, it won't get done. Hi, everybody. There was a time in this ministry when $20 a week as an offering was considered generous. And frankly, if you have 350 giving units, $20 a week, that's $1,040 a year. At $20 a week, that's $350,000 a year. That's a pretty good budget 30, 40 years ago. It's our budget today, about $310, $315, somewhere in that range, or likely to be in that neighborhood anyway. $20 a week doesn't get it done anymore, does it? And frankly, I can do better. You can do better. We can do better as well. I've been pastor of this church for 3 years, 4 months, and 16 days as of today. 3 years, 4 months, 16 days. But who's counting? I know. Some days it feels like I've been here forever. Other days I feel like I'm just getting started. That's kind of the nature of ministry if you don't know. But 3 years, four months, 16 days. Now, here's the thing, and you know this because we're not shy about it. For 3 years, 4 months, and 16 days, we as a congregation have struggled over the same $25,000 to $30,000 budget gap. 3 years, 4 months, 16 days, the same number. And frankly, it keeps us from taking bold steps. And it keeps us from living the life that I believe God is calling us to live. That shortfall handicaps us, not only this year, but every year. That shortfall, that's money. Generally speaking, what ends up happening is we don't send the money to support the ministries of the annual conference. Last year we sent 60%. We're hoping for 70% this year. We ought to do 100% every year. You see, we just had people in training for visitation. You know who paid for that, don't you? That money came from the annual conference. It supported that. It supports living well. It supports so many of the other programs, projects, and activities that we're involved in. Hand to Plow that we've been in the middle of. That's money that the 950 United Methodist Churches in Upper New York have brought together and have distributed to do these programs, to do these things. And we should do our fair share. That money pays for our superintendent, Wayne Butler. It pays for our bishop, Bishop Webb. It pays for our global connections. It pays for the overhead for UMCOR, for crying out loud. And we should not take lightly that we haven't been meeting that obligation. Well, here's another way to look at this. Try this one out. Hello, my name is BJ. I'm your pastor. I'm here to help you today. So let's try it this way. Doris tells me we have 120 regular contributors, right? Which is far removed from Pete. What number were you in the old days? 380. Yeah. So we're somewhat down from 380 of the halcyon days of yore. About 120 regular contributors. Some of us take envelopes. Some of us don't. $30,000 a year. $30,000, the shortfall in our budget. If we divide that by 120, it's $250 a year. You want me to take a step farther? That's less than $5 a week. It's about 68 cents a day. We are handicapping ourselves for 68 cents a day. And we can do better. We have to do better. Now, I know some of you step up every time, and I appreciate it. But some of us don't. And we've hamstrung the ministry of this church and our present, our future, things that we can and should be doing. Look, let me put it to you this way. We need to hire a youth pastor. 10 hours a week ought to be enough for now. We need to do this. I mean, Sally and I are working with Mission Youth right now. And I won't speak for Sally, but I will speak for myself. And you guys can probably second this if you really want, but don't. It'll just hurt my feelings. I'm too old for this. This past June 1st marked the 40th anniversary, of my graduation from high school. I'm 40 years from the world you live in. And I have no idea what world you live in. I really don't. I got some ideas, I got some insight, but I'm a tourist in a teenage world. And we need to have somebody working with the kids who are less than tourists in that world, who are committed to Christ and who can do that. But of course, we can't do that because we have a shortfall. Can't make that happen. We need to make a bigger mission footprint in this community. Now, we're about to put up a display, I think, that'll just blow your socks off. We've been, you know, those half pages I've been collecting the last several weeks from you about the other ministries and missions and projects that you're involved in the city. We're going to put a big map up, and we're going to mark them all on this big map. And when I started reading, I'm just blown away by how many of you are on various boards and agencies and serving in volunteer capacity on as board of directors and so many different missions and projects. But we can do better. As a church, we can do better. We need to be aggressively reaching out to the world around us. We should be in the middle of a big advertising campaign, but same excuse, right? We don't have the money. And frankly, we need to pay our staff better. There, I've said it. Leave me out of that. This year with the staff parish and a charge conference today, I've told the staff parish not to increase my wage, my salary in any way, shape, or form. And the reason I wanted to do that was very simple. Last year, when we changed our budget stuff around, the rest of our staff got no increase at all. They got flatlined. And that just isn't fair. And 2 or 3% to all of them is pretty good. If you do some, they do research on employers around the country. It's kind of fun to read who the best companies to work for are. You know, Wegmans is usually on that list and other groups. If you do the research, what you find out is two worst employers, you know where they are? Universities and churches. Churches don't pay their staff well enough because, well, you know, it's ministry, it's mission. So, you know, it's just not fair. And it's not right. And we can do better. I know we can do better. All right. So, where the brass tacks are, here they are. I learned to tithe. We talk about that? When I looked at the math, I actually give 12% of my income back to the church. A tithe is supposed to be 10%. I'm at 12 at this point. It's $125 a week, $250. I get paid every 2 weeks, so my first check I write, Christ United Methodist Church, tithe, $250. I'm going to give away over $8,000 this year, either through this church or to other missions and projects. That makes me happy, by the way. I'm an hilarious giver. I don't regret it. I don't miss it. I love doing it. And when I write that first check, when I write that tithe check, when I give that check to God through this church, it's the best thing I get to do every 2 weeks. I love doing it. And I trust God. God has promised that if I will be faithful, if I will do the thing that he's called me to do, that God will bless me. And you know, I started tithing in 1990. It took me 3 years to get to the right percentage. I didn't tithe before that. In fact, I was a terrible giver. And then I realized that part of my job was standing up in front of people saying, you got to support this. And then I realized, whoa, wait a second. You know, leadership rule number one is you can't ask anybody to do something you're not willing to do. And if I wasn't keeping up myself, I wasn't tithing myself, then I should shut up and sit down. That was my first sermon on tithing. I'd like to tell all of you to tithe, but I'm not doing it, so I'm just going to shut up and sit down. And then I went for another 20 minutes, but you know. God says that you will be blessed, that the measure you give determines the measure you get. Now, this isn't some prosperity gospel thing here where you plant a seed and suddenly God's going to make you a millionaire. That's ridiculous. Because God's blessings come in multiple forms. And I was trying to think about all the ways that I have been blessed since I've begun this thing. And I've realized that ministry that I participate has been blessed. We get to see people come to Jesus. We get to see people being discipled. I've managed to send out, I think it's 12, 13, 14. I lose track because some are in, some are out. But people that I've sent from churches I've served into full-time ministry. That's a blessing to me. God has allowed me and enabled me to make friends around the planet. Christians in multiple countries. And that's a blessing to me. I moved here and continued tithing. And by the way, I continue to pay a mortgage on my house in Liverpool. It's going to be Karen's retirement home. I'm not sure where I'm going to be, but it's going to be her retirement. Okay, I plan to be there too. But that's the deal. I had to learn to do that. It took me 3 years. I went from no percent to 4% to 7.5% to 10%, and that's what I did. I made myself do that, and now I just never stop. Show you some pictures. Well, here's some pictures. Look at. Recognize some of them. I know it's kind of washed out, but that's our women's retreat from a month or so ago. Some of them are actually smiling. I think they were having a good time. There's Randy. Randy. That's his baptism in the Mitchell's pool. By the way, that is currently my absolute favorite picture. Go back to that picture. I love that picture. Whoop, we're going the wrong way. We're just, there we go. There we are. Yeah. Yeah. We are entrusting him to the waters of baptism as he claims faith in Christ. We got you guys praying for me as I went off to Uganda this year. That's from the 9 o'clock service. Hey, there's Mary. And children. And apparently, I don't know what you're doing, but you're... You're teaching. Oh, it's Mary being Mary. Okay. Well, of course, that's like everybody in the Bible. There's Mary and Mary and her friend Mary. They're all the ones at the tomb. There's Barb. Barbara, there you are. That's at Central City Mission. There's Joe and Roger and Dee Dee and Davis Matovu right here in our cafe. There's Kira's baptism. There's the guys after they played putt-putt golf. I mean, really? One of the things our guys are really good at, though, is we always go to lunch afterwards. So, you know, that's the important thing. Many of you sponsor orphans at Blessed Junior School in Kiramadaji. Those children, we lost the children. They've gone away. There they are. The ones in the red and white gingham, that's the uniform of the school, and that's some of the orphans that you sponsor. Look how happy they are. There's the praise team from 9 o'clock. And there's Sally, children's moment from not too long ago. And you did this. This is the well at Nabakondo that Moses the engineer and Davis invented out of whole cloth, I think. But there they are. And there's our youth group on Make a Difference Day doing landscaping for the Family Justice Center. And having a great time doing it. You know, we are fulfilling the reason we're here. Could we be doing better? Yes. Could we be doing more? Yes. But we're here to make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And we have new disciples among us. Some are younger, some are older. We're all growing and moving forward. Let me ask the question this way. Are we stronger than we were 3 years, 4 months, and 16 days ago? Are we? Are we a stronger church than we were 3 years, 4 months, 16 days? I said this at 9 o'clock, so I'll say it again. If we're not, by the way, call Bishop Webb and have him get me out of here because you need somebody to help you become stronger as you move forward. But if we are stronger than we were, then we can be stronger tomorrow than we were today, and we can build on this thing. Are we? Stronger? I think we're communicating better. I think we're growing spiritually. I think you've been challenged over the last 3 years, 4 months, and 16 days. Challenged to be better, to do better, to get involved, to get your hands dirty, to do what God has called us to do. We have, you know, I said, you know, churches are really bad employers, and in spite of that, you have an amazing staff here. One of them is hiding behind the organ. Hi, Kevin. You don't know because you don't see us on a day-to-day basis. But you should be aware of how hard Sally works for you. If you don't know, you celebrate that. You should be aware of how hard Janelle works for us. She's been with us a year this week. And she is just absolutely willing to do anything it is we need her to do, which is what you want your office manager to do, right? And Doris, who keeps track of the numbers, and Dave, who's like the world's coolest custodian. I mean, if you come here during the week and he's working, you could not possibly want a better personality than his, wandering around the building fixing stuff. And we have a great lay team as well. You have good leaders in good positions. They're trying their very best to do the best they can with what we give them to work with. But we're stuck because of the money. I don't know how else to say it. So I'll say it that way. We're stuck. And we ought not be stuck. We're stuck because we're $5 a week in each offering short of doing everything that God has called us to do, and then some. So here's the challenge. Some of you, by the way, can do so much better. Some of us, $5 a week, come on, that's a triple grande non-fat latte at Starbucks, $5. It's my drink, sorry. That's a medium size with non-fat steam skim milk and an extra shot of espresso, a triple grande non-fat, in case you were wondering. Was anybody really wondering? If you go into Starbucks and order a why bother, you know what they give you? They give you a decaf latte with skim milk. Why bother? All right. So many of us could do so much better. So here's what I've decided to do, and I want to challenge you to do the same. All right? I've put on my pledge card, my tithe, and then I wrote plus five. That I'll cover my share of the $5 we're short. And I challenge you to do the same. And for some of you, to do more than the same. Because some of you can afford to do more of the same and can really step up and could do so much better. Can I share a secret with you? Shh. Don't tell anybody. I have no interest in serving a dying church. I'm not wired for hospice ministry. I'm just not. So, some of my friends are. They're really good at it. They're really good at helping churches go into that good night. Our friend Dave Pliss is in the middle of doing that right now. He's going to be back with us 1st of January. The church that he's been serving is closing. Christmas Eve is their last service. And he being a counselor, he's really good at this. He's very gently and very graciously walk them through. I couldn't do that if he doubled my salary. I would go nuts if I can't build something. Because that's how I'm wired. So I don't want to preside over a dying church. I don't think you do either. I don't think there's any Hezekiahs in the room at all who are just hoping the church will hang on until we can have your funeral. We can do better. Now, some of you have already turned your cards in. By the way, I appreciate your eagerness to give. I love, you know, we send those out, and I think 30 of them came back through the mail. Well done. But if you've already done that, I want you to take one of the cards that was in the offering today. Just put your name and write plus five on there. or whatever it is you want to do. If you haven't filled your cards out yet, they're there. They're in your bulletin today. There's one. I turned mine in at 9 o'clock today, but there's one. And it's pretty straightforward. It says, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to get us unstuck and moving forward? Take a moment. We're going to pray. Take a moment, fill these out. And when the ushers come to receive the offering today, I want you to drop that in the offering plate as well. So let's take a moment. Find those lovely, I like the color, by the way. So is that goldenrod? Artists? Lisa, where are you? Is that goldenrod?
Yeah.
Sort of. Yellow. Canary? Canary. Okay. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to matter in the long-term mission and ministry of this church. Thank you for the opportunity to invest in the cause of Christ in Amherst and Cheektowaga and Buffalo and beyond. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to be faithful stewards of the resources you've placed in our lives. And Lord, I trust you to keep your word, that if we're faithful and give graciously, gratefully, generously, hilariously, that you will bless us as you promised. We trust you for that blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, ushers, you ready for your job?